Thank you. Okay. At first, I would like to thank all the organizers of this workshop, in particular Professor Wong, for giving me the opportunity to participate in such a nice workshop and to give this lecture. These are some results obtained in collaboration with Paolo Boggiato and Giuseppe De Donno of the University of Torino. I would like to start by some very simple and well-known facts, but just to give some reason for the things that we have studied. If we have a signal F and let's say belonging to the space L2 of R, but we can obviously take also dimension greater than 1, usually the norm in L2 of the signal represents its total energy, is interpreted in this way, and accordingly to this, this quantity here, the modulus of F square, represents the density of the energy of the signal with respect to the time X. And then in the same way, in a similar way, if we take the Fourier transform of F, the Fourier transform contains informations about the connecting with the frequencies contained in the signal. And so if we take the modulus of F hat square, this represents in some sense the energy density of the signal with respect to the frequency omega. Then, we have this absolutely well-known fact that this the Fourier transform goes from L2 into L2, and it is invertible, and it is an isometry, and we have this relation here. And this relation here means that if we take the total energy of the signal and we pass to the Fourier transform, we do not lose information from this point of view, and so the total energy of the signal here is equal to the total energy of the signal when we take its Fourier transform. The fact that the Fourier transform is an isometry here, and in particular it is invertible here, says that here we have some informations, and the informations that we have here at the level of the signal contains also all the information that we have here at the level of its Fourier transform, and vice versa. So basically, we could content ourselves to have the signal, and we have here all the informations that we want. But the point is that the informations that we have here related to the frequencies that occur in the signal are not, in some sense, are not clear, are not clean, are not explicitly written in some sense. So what we have is this the energy density, both with respect to time and with respect to frequencies, and we have information from this. But what we would like to find is a representation of the energy density of a signal simultaneously with respect to time and frequency. So in just one expression, we have all the information that we want. So since these energy density are some quadratic expression, what we look for is a quadratic representation of the signal F in which we have informations regarding the time and also regarding the frequencies that occur in the signal. So since we have these two expressions here, one very simple way to find such an expression like this could be to take the signal F, its Fourier transform, and to multiply them. So this is something that is also quite well known and used. And this the so-called Riatz representation, in which, okay, it's not exactly what I said, but we take the signal, its Fourier transform, the complex conjugate, and we have this modulation factor. And we have here a representation containing information both in time and frequencies. Nice properties of this representation is shown here, for example. If we take the integral of this, and if in some sense we interpret this expression as a density energy, and we take the integral, what we would like to have is the total energy of the signal. And in fact, very simple calculation. Here we have the expression. Then if we integrate in the variable x, here we find the Fourier transform, but multiplied by the complex conjugate of the Fourier transform, we obtain this expression here, that is exactly the total energy of the signal to the square, modulus f hat, that is also equal to modulus f. So this is very nice, a very nice property. We remark in particular that if we take just the integral with respect to frequency or the integral with respect to time, what we find here, we forget about the integral in omega, and we find exactly the here integral in dx, and we find exactly f hat modulus square, so this expression here. And the same holds for the integral with respect to frequencies. This is quite nice because when we have a time frequency representation, so here we have time, here we have frequencies, and we, let's say, for example, here we fix the time and we integrate in frequency. So here we have the time, we fix the time, we integrate in frequency, so in some sense, very roughly speaking, we make the sum, if the representation is the energy density, we make the sum of all the energy related to all the frequencies. And what we would like to have is the energy, let's say, at the point x. This is something that does not make sense, but let's say very roughly speaking, the energy in one point is something that is not well defined in some sense. So here we have some properties that are quite desirable. These expressions here are the so-called marginal distributions, and this is what we would like to have. We would be happy if this happens when we, when we have a time frequency representation. This reactor representation contains the Fourier transform, but as we have heard in many nice talks in this workshop, the Fourier transform itself contains information about the frequencies, but is not able to say at this time there are those frequencies. And the information that are here are not, in some sense, are not very clear and very clean and very readable. So what the first thing is to try to replace the Fourier transform here by another expression containing some more refined tool. And what we consider is the short-time Fourier transform. But there is still one thing that I want to say, and it is written here, maybe you cannot read very well, but anyway, the reactor representation comes also from pseudo-differential operators, in the sense, thank you, in the sense that if we have a pseudo-differential operator here, and p of x omega is its symbol, we have this relation here. Well, all the relations that I write are true when all the things make sense. That means that more or less they are true when they are true, but anyway, they are true. So what we find is that if we take P applied to F and we make the inner product with F, let's say all in Schwarz functions, this is the same as the inner product between the symbol and exactly the reactor representation here. And this is something very nice. Well, let's pass now to the short-time Fourier transform. Thank you. just to briefly recall the definition of short time Fourier transform. It is this one. We take the signal f, and before making the Fourier transform of the signal, we multiply by a window that cuts off just a piece of the signal, and we make the Fourier transform just of this piece of the signal. So in some sense, we make the Fourier transform of the signal at the time x. And so we find all these very nice informations that have already been pointed out in this workshop. Here, we have the usual translation and modulation here, and through these expressions, we can write the short time Fourier transform as an inner product, or that eventually can be interpreted, if necessary, also as the action of f, if f is a distribution, for example, a distribution on this function here. But this just to recall. What we have is the inversion formula for the short time Fourier transform. If we have two windows here, and the inner product product between these two is different from zero, then we take the function f and its short time Fourier transform here, and this expression allows us to reconstruct exactly the signal f. As usual, when we have an inversion formula, we can consider the corresponding localization operator that in this case will be associated certainly to the short time Fourier transform. And the localization operator is this one, where the meaning is that we take the signal, we make the short time Fourier transform, so we make the analysis of the signal, the frequencies at fixed time that occur in the signal, we multiply by a function capital F, and this is the processing part of this thing here, of this expression here, and then all the other things are the reconstruction of the signal, so roughly speaking the inverse Fourier transform of this expression here that we have. This expression, we consider this expression whenever it makes sense. In particular here, there are some hypotheses, but this is not the main goal of this talk to specify these hypotheses. What is important is this formula here. Let's take all the things in the Schwarz space S with the respective dimensions. And then we have this relation here, that if you look at this expression, localization operator applied to F and then inner product with G, and then it is more or less like this pseudo-differential operator applied to F and then inner product with F or also with G. It's not important, certainly. And we have here an expression that is more or less like this. Here we had the symbol, and here the reactor representation. And here we have the symbol, and then another representation. And this representation here considered like a time frequency representation in the sense that we were speaking about at the beginning of this talk. These considerations lead us to study this form here. And on this form we have studied mapping properties, uncertainty principle, and marginal distribution. In particular, when f is equal to g, we have the quadratic form, this form here, that is exactly the form that describes properties in time and frequency of the signal f. So let's start by the first point. No, let's start by preliminary remarks. If we take phi equal to psi and g equal to f, we have this form here that is positive, and this is the so-called spectrogram, the usual spectrogram. On the other hand, this form, when we choose, when we allow the function, the windows phi and psi to be also distributions, and we take phi equal to the Dirac distribution and psi equal to the function identically one, what we find is exactly the React representation. And so this form here can be viewed as a link between the spectrogram here and the React representation. What about the mapping properties of this form? We studied these mapping properties on LP spaces, and what we found is, in some sense, a characterization of the boundedness of this form on LP spaces. If P and Q are in this way, where this prime here means, as usually, the conjugate exponent of what there is here, then this form acts in this way. Okay, this is just a particular case, but is just what we need for this talk. Here we have these mapping properties, and this mapping property is continuous in this, is bounded in this sense. So, what we have is this one. We had this property here that connects the form that we are studying with the localization operators. And then what is nice and that is that this mapping property of the last slide can be rewritten in terms of continuity of the localization operator here. And what is even nicer is that we have, let's say, boundedness property here, and this reflects to boundedness property here. But also the opposite, if we have non-boundedness property here, this reflects to non-boundedness property here. So if we can characterize in some sense the boundedness of this form in LP spaces, we can also characterize the boundedness of localization operators on LP spaces. this is what we could prove. Maybe I can skip this one. This is what we could prove. How to read this picture? We have here P, here Q, and this Q, we have the localization operator with windows, let's say, in suitable spaces that are not written explicitly here, but what we are interested in is the symbol F, capital F. So here we have the symbol that is in LQ space, and we wonder if the corresponding localization operator is bounded on LP spaces. What we have is that in this red region we have continuous operator, and outside we have not continuous operator, but this has to be specified in the sense that if we take a point of the plane here, we have a Q, and we take a symbol in LQ, and we have a P, and the corresponding localization operator is continuous in LP. So for every symbol here, the localization operator is continuous. Outside is the opposite. That means that there is at least one symbol here, and the suitable windows function such that the corresponding localization operator is not bounded on this LP. This means that here we have infinity, and here we have infinity, and these two points are contained in the continuity part of this picture. So, what we proved regarding mapping properties. What about uncertainty principle? This is the result. It's very simple, but anyway interesting, let's say. We consider non-zero functions, phi and psi, And these in LP and these in LP prime, and a function f belonging to LP intersection with LP prime. And we take a measurable set in R2D and a positive constant epsilon, let's say less than 1. And we have this property. If this is true, then the measure of the set U must be large. That means if this expression is large, this expression in some sense is connected with the energy of the signal, because here we have the form. If this expression is large, then the set must be large. Okay, the proof is quite simple. We just write this first estimate here is by hypothesis. Here we have the form. We just write the form with the notation of modulation and translations. Here we have inner product. Let's say again. No, sorry. Here we have inner product in L2. And so we can estimate this, for example, by this expression, the modulus of this, the norm of this in LP and the norm of this in LP prime, and the same in this way. But then the modulation is just a complex exponential that when we make the norm, it disappears, and then it remains the translation, but when we translate, the norm in LP does not change. So this is exactly the norm of phi in LP. And so all these things go out of the integral, and what remains is exactly the measure of the set U. And then all this is exactly this expression here, and then the measure of U must be greater than 1 minus epsilon. Well, we have also an uncertainty principle for the Riatzek representation, where here we take the modulus of the Riatzek representations. There is an uncertainty principle taking the modulus square of the Riatzek representation. Here we just want to take the modulus for a reason that I will going to show you. And what we find is more or less the same thing. If this is large, then the measure of the set U must be large when here we have a constant, and this constant here is equal to 1 when P is equal to 1 or P is equal to infinity. So we have this principle, this uncertainty principle here in the particular case when P is equal to 1 or P equal to infinity. We would like to consider in particular this case, because in this case we have a nice remark that is the comparison between the uncertainty principle for our form and the Riatzek form. We have rewritten here the uncertainty principle for our form in the case when P is equal to 1, and we have the uncertainty principle for the Riatzek representation when P is equal to 1. But then we know also that there is a relation between the Q and the R. And the relation is this one, when the windows are delta and 1. But then if here we keep a sequence of functions phi belonging to L1 and tending to delta, here we can take this sequence in such a way the norm of phi is equal to 1. And then we can take the norm of psi equal to 1 and psi tending to 1. We can take even identically 1, certainly, then this expression here this disappears because this is 1, and here the left-hand side is the same as this, and here we have Q delta 1 that is exactly the Riatzek representation, and so this in some sense can be viewed as an extension of the uncertainty principle for the Riatzek representation. Certainly, these works just for p equal to 1, because we need this fact here, phi tending to delta with norm in L1 equal to 1. We can do this just in L1. Then, what about the marginal distributions of our form? The marginal distributions are defined as usual in this way. We integrate in the with respect to the frequencies, and we integrate with respect to time. And as we have already pointed out, when we have a time frequency representation of the signal f, what we would like to have is that this marginal here is equal to modulus f square, and this marginal here is equal to modulus f hat square. What we can find by computing the marginal distributions of the form Q is are these expressions here, where this is not exactly modulus f square, but it is modulus f square convoluted with this expression here, and this is modulus f hat square convoluted with this expression here. This tilde means these things here. Phi tilde of x is exactly phi of minus x. So these two conditions here can be satisfied when we take the windows in a suitable way. But the point is that to satisfy these conditions, we must have here delta and here delta. At least one of the two windows must be a distribution. So, for example, if phi is equal to delta and psi is equal to 1, what we can prove is that this is delta and this is delta. And also the converse, if phi is equal to delta, no, sorry, when phi is equal to 1 and psi is equal to delta, we have again delta. We observe that in this case, for example, we recover exactly the Riatzek representation. In this case, basically, we recover again the Riatzek representation. We find the complex conjugate of the Riatzek representations. Certainly, these are not the only cases when we have this property. For example, we can take the alpha derivative of the delta of delta as a windows phi, and the x to the power alpha over the over alpha factorial for the function psi, or vice versa, and again we have here delta, and we have the nice properties for the marginal distributions. But then certainly at least one of these windows must be a distribution. What we have analyzed is as final things is the average and the standard deviation of these two marginal distributions. The marginal distribution is not exactly what we want. Let's consider, for example, the Q1 that is integral with respect to frequency. This is not exactly what we want, and we do not like very much to take distributions as windows. So at least can we find some windows functions, phi and psi, such that at least the average of this marginal here is equal to the average of the energy distributions of the energy distribution of the signal with respect to time. Or the standard deviation of the of this marginal here is equal to the standard deviation of the energy distribution energy density, sorry, of the signal f. And in fact, this can be done. This is just a computation. What we find is that the average of Q1, for example, is here the average of the energy density, and this is what we want multiplied by this, and then here we have another term. Certainly, if we choose phi and psi in such a way, this term here is equal to 1 and this term here vanish, Then we have exactly the average of of the marginal equal to the average of modulus f square. And more or less the same thing happens for the standard deviation here. What we find is that if this is if this is one, and this is zero, and this is zero, we find what we want. And there are some quite simple examples of functions such that these conditions are satisfied, and so these properties are nice as we would like to have. That's all. Thank you very much.